Hi, you're listening to the weekly podcast of Life Ministry Church. For more information, head to our website, www.lmc.org.au.
Let's pray. Father, we just thank you for your word. And again, Lord, we know it is life-changing. And as we apply it to our lives, it's an incredible thing to see change. And I know in my life personally over the years, as I've applied it, it is incredible. And so, Father, we just give you thanks for it. We pray that it's not just a practical thing, but that your spirit would rest upon my words tonight and in this place. And we just give you thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. So the title for my message tonight is Freedom from Your Feelings. And this came a few weeks ago. I can't remember what meeting I was sitting in, but this freedom from your feelings actually it really stood out to me in something that I'd heard, and so I thought one day I'll speak about it. So that's where this comes from. So your feelings, these are a couple of definitions. Your feelings about something are things that you think and feel about it, or your attitude towards it. These are just a couple of dictionary definitions. Feeling is a way of thinking and reacting to things which is emotional and not planned, rather than logical and practical. Here's three quick things. One, our thinking influences how we feel. Feeling, what and how we feel impacts our behaviours. And three, behaving, we behave as a result of what we think and feel. Scripturally, Jeremiah 17:9 says, "The heart is deceitful above all things and is extremely sick. Who can understand it fully and knows its secret motives?" Proverbs 28:26, he who trusts confidently in his own heart is a dull, thick-headed fool. But he who walks in skillful and godly wisdom will be rescued. And Proverbs 14:12 is one of my favourite scriptures, and I think it's just such a powerful scripture. "There is a way which seems right to a man and appears straight before him, but its end is the way of death." There is a way that seems right, which seems right to a man and appears straight before him, but its end is the way of death. In the world in which we live right now, we are encouraged more and more to live by what and how we feel, to act on what we feel in many ways. When you feel offended, act on it. Get to the perpetrator who's offended you. When you feel attracted, chase that attraction down. When you feel angry, act on that anger. And when you feel like it's too hard, just get out of the game. Live in the moment, the world says. They hurt my feelings, so I'm going to respond or react in a way to that. If it feels good, do it. So much of what we hear these days is around these sort of thoughts. So when we feel something, we press the go button on it, because this will give fulfillment. And this isn't a scriptural thing, but in nearly all those cases, it's probably short-term gain and long-term pain. I watched a 60 Minutes interview a couple of weeks ago, and I'm not going to use names, but you'll probably be able to work it out if you saw the interview. And I was really sad. I was sad at the end of the interview, and I was compassionate. I was certainly compassionate for this person who was being interviewed, but I was also sad, and I was pretty cross at the end of the interview, because there was a fellow that was talking about how he was estranged from his kids, and through his decisions And I just thought through him acting on his feelings, it's outworked that he's now estranged from his kids and hoping one day that it'll come back together, and he can't quite understand why that is. And I was really sad about it. You know, it's so contrary to what the Word of God says, and I haven't got this on the screen, but Philippians 2, 3 to 5 says this: let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. All right, that's not the key part of this scripture, but number 4 says, let each of you look not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others, which is so key to the Christian life. And verse 5 says, let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. Now tonight, I'm not suggesting at all that feelings are not real and that they're not valid. That's not what I'm saying here. I'm not suggesting that they're not valid and that we should not have feelings, because they are a natural part of life. There are some who would definitely feel things more than others, because that's just the way you have been made. The question I want to ask you tonight, though, do you have feelings, or do your feelings have you? Do you allow your feelings or heightened emotions to rule? Galatians 5:16 says this: but I say, walk habitually in the Holy Spirit, seek him and be responsive to his guidance, and then you will certainly not carry out the desire of the sinful nature, which responds impulsively without regard for God and his precepts. Some of the translations talk about the flesh, and it's kind of acting on fleshly impulsions that we're talking about. Do disappointments spiral you out of control? Do you get out of the wrong side of the bed more often than not? Is it hard to overcome when someone says the wrong thing to you? Do you stay away when you just don't feel like going? When it comes to your friendships, do you struggle around the whole feeling thing and the emotional thing? In your relationships, in your marriage, when your feelings get hurt, is it hard to deal with? Do you really struggle, I guess, to find a level head in that? When you spend money, do you spend money emotionally? The classic emotional spender. In your general decision making, are they made more on feelings than anything else? Do they play a part, or do they rule? I know I can look back, but as anyone here can look back and go, I know that decision I made was an emotional decision. I've probably bought things before emotionally. And is that what rules you? Pearl S. Buck says this. Now, I don't know who Pearl S. Buck is, but I just thought that this was a great quote. So I'll just say this quote. I have no idea who they are, but it's a good name, and so it's worth reading out. You cannot make yourself feel something you do not feel. Let me just read that again. You cannot make yourself feel something you do not feel, but you can make yourself do right in spite of your feelings. Now, this may relate to some people here. You might be going, yeah, I make decisions based on my feelings and they own me. Now, no, not everyone's that way. But in this building, we're not on our own. The Bible is full of examples of people who either lived much of their life by feelings, and examples of people who acted on their feelings as well. Cain. We can put that scripture up if you like, Dave. That'd be awesome. Cain, classic. Anger, and jealousy, feelings of anger and jealousy, and have a look at the outworking. So I was talking about Cain and Abel's comparison in the offering that they brought to the Lord God. It says, but he did not accept Cain and his gift. This made Cain very angry, and he looked dejected. God said, why are you so angry? The Lord asked Cain. Why do you look so dejected? You'll be accepted if you do what is right, but if you refuse to do what is right, then watch out. And I love this. This is one of my favorite, another one of my favorite scriptures. Sin is crouching at the door, eager to control you, as in your fleshly desires, eager to control you, but you must subdue it and be its master. One day Cain suggested to his brother, let's go out into the field. So this has been, these feelings, it didn't just happen right there and then. These feelings have been hanging around. So it's been lingering, these feelings, and Cain hasn't dealt with them. So one day Cain suggested to his brother, let's go out into the field. And while they were in the field, Cain attacked his brother Abel and killed him. The outworking of letting your feelings take control. Samson was another one with much desire and lust. And I love this, before we even talk about Delilah and what outworked with Delilah, in Judges 14:3-4, this is early on, Samson took a Nazarite vow, which meant that part of it was that he wouldn't intermarry with the Philistines. And so in verse 3 it says, his father and mother objected, isn't there even one woman in our tribe or among all the Israelites you could marry? They asked, why must you go to the pagan Philistines to find a wife? But Samson told his father, and this is the key line, get her for me, she looks good to me. So aspects of desire and lust are in that statement. And his father and mother didn't realise that the Lord was at work in this, creating an opportunity to work against the Philistines who ruled over Israel at the time. And so there was a work going on in him, but he still was falling to his feelings. David with lust. 2 Samuel 11:2-4. Late one afternoon, after his midday rest, David got out of bed and was walking on the roof of the palace. As he looked out over the city, he noticed a woman of unusual beauty taking a bath. He sent someone to find out, so he acted on his feelings. He took his feelings and he acted on them. He acted out on them. And he sent someone to find out who she was, and he was told, she is Bathsheba, the daughter of Eliam, and the wife of Uriah the Hittite. David knew all this. He understood who these people were. And then David still sent messengers to get her. And when she came to the palace, he slept with her. He acted out on his feelings. There was not a lot of self-control there with David. Now, the sad thing is for me that it wasn't in the moment that was just outworked. Because of his actions, it had a massive impact on his family and his kids. Now, I haven't got scriptures on the screen for this, but other characters in the Bible, Saul, real people, much of his life, feelings of insecurity and then jealousy caused his downfall. He just could not deal with them in time. Judas, feelings of guilt. Look how that outworked for Judas. Peter, anger. And Peter is a classic example of how through Christ and in the power of the Holy Spirit people can change. But you know, when he cut off the ear of the guard, it was acting out of anger, out of his feelings. See the outworking and the consequences of acting on your feelings. However, there is some good news. Jesus, right through the Gospels, and the Gospels talked about how Jesus had feelings. It talked about how he wept. It talked about how he had feelings of compassion. And it talked about how he had feelings of anger. And this is proof that feelings can be followed by a measured response. Luke 22, 41 to 44, and this is at his probably his darkest hour. He withdrew about a stone's throw beyond them. He knelt down and prayed, "Father, if you are willing, take this cup from me, yet not my will but yours be done." And in 43, an angel from heaven appeared to him and strengthened him. And 44 says, and being in anguish, feelings of anguish, the feelings must have been just so strong, he prayed more earnestly. So instead of backing off at that time when those feelings were at their height, he actually prayed more. He went to God at that moment. He prayed more earnestly. He prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was like drops of blood falling to the ground. And so we can see that we can have victory over our feelings. If Christ is in us, that's something we can do, and by the power of the Holy Spirit. So tonight, if you're a person who's sitting here, and for some of you it may not be even an issue, but I think of young and old here. I think of some of you really young guys here. If this is something you can deal with in your life now, that you can get control of, that you can find ways of help to get through this, it can make a difference in your decision-making in life. Because I know there's decisions I've made in life that I look back on and go, gee, I wish I'd been more measured in how I did that and didn't act on my feelings. It can help with, stopping some silly decision making. So I've got 10 things, and it sounds like it's going to go for a long time, but it's not. They're relatively quick. 10 things. Now you may take one of them and say, well, I can use that. That's something that I can take and use that helps you to find freedom from your feelings that rule. So it's not saying this takes away your feelings. It's when your heightened emotions are there or your feelings are there, that these are things which can help in and through these situations. So the first one is, I'm going to put 5 up, but we'll go through them. But the first one is measure them against truth. So Dave, as I talk about them, if you can just take the screen down so people don't keep going over with the next 5 points. So the first one is measure them against truth. Feelings are real, but are they true? So here's an emotional thinking trap, and this is something I did a bit of reading on, or a feelings thinking trap. People with this thinking trap tend to think that because they feel a certain way, then it must be true. And here's an example. I feel like I look stupid, so I must look stupid. I mean, that's a really simple one. I feel offended, they're against me, so I will be offended. Classic thing you see in many people. Offense is a choice, by the way. They choose to be offended, go with the feeling, because it hurts so much. I feel like I'm, this is an extreme one, I feel like I'm having a heart attack, but some people go through this. So I am having a heart attack. And so here's one. I feel like, classic for these days, I feel like I'm in the wrong body. You can finish the sentence. It is about analysing the feelings, taking a measuring tape against them. And when you measure them against truth, go to the Word of God, find out what it says, and measure it against truth. It's about analysing them, assessing and evaluating them to see if they are indeed valid and true, as opposed to accepting these feelings, thoughts, and believing them without question. That's the important thing. You know, your feelings can be a real positive, but if you just head on into it because that's the way you feel, it can cause much grief. And I see much of the world that is in strife because of acting out on feelings. And don't worry, if feelings is the top of the charts that you're acting on, that's not God pushing you that way. God's, God's much more measured. Know the truth, and the truth will set you free. So the second one is don't make excuses, own it. I believe that this is often the first step to overcoming anything. It is so important to not make excuses, own it. Go, God, I know I have an issue in this area. I don't push it aside. I actually own this and I want to deal with it. Because if you don't own it, you'll pretend like it's not actually happening. So that's the second one. The third one is check the origins of why you are feeling that way. Is it past hurt? Is it what has been modelled at home? Are you acting that way because that's the way you've seen your parents or siblings or whatever operating in? Is that why it's happening? I want to give you a grade six story. And Claudia and I actually had a discussion about this last night. And she asked me the question, what's the point of checking about the origins of the way you feel? And she said, is it going to change you acting on your feelings if you know the origins of it? And I said, well, for me, it's really helped. And so I've got a story from way back when I was in grade six, and it shows you that it's had an impact on me because I remember it pretty well. We were in a bus, and it was full of you know, grade six kids, and normally grade six kids just sit there and they do nothing and don't talk and they sit so straight up in their seats and everything like that. But this particular grade six lot that I went to school with, they weren't like that. They're up and down and out of the chairs. Any grade six kids here? Any year seven kids here? Any year sevens? Yeah, probably. You'd probably be like that. You're probably just sitting there not doing anything. But this particular lot, they weren't. They're up and down. And the bell in the bus is just so much fun to press when you're in grade six. And so the driver had enough after about the 15th time, I think, and he pulled the bus over to the side. And the teacher got up and said, righto, enough of this. No more pressing the button to make the bell go off. We don't need the bell going off. So we all said, yes, sir, no problems at all. And then the bell went off again, surprisingly enough. I know that's hard to believe. And the bell went off again. And I reckon I was sitting about four or five rows from the back because I certainly wasn't a backseat tough, I can assure you of that. And anyway, the six lovely boys from the back seat all pointed at me and they said, he did it. And I said, I didn't do it. And I denied it all the way, but the teacher didn't believe me because it was six versus one. And so I was well and truly put in it. And so I had to have a detention and had to write lines about pressing the button when I shouldn't. I can't remember what the lines were. It was probably some ridiculous thing. I think 150 lines I had to write. Did anyone ever have to write lines here? Do they do that anymore? Do they do writing lines? I don't think they do. I don't know. I can't see. Yeah, I did it. I used to do it a lot. But this time, most of the time it was justified, but this time was very unjust. And the teacher came and said to me, why did you do it? And I said, I'm happy to write the lines for you, but I didn't do it. And ever since that day, whenever I see injustice, I get angry. I get really angry when I see injustice. It makes my blood boil. And so the question on does it make any difference, I still get angry, but knowing how God wants me to act. Because, you know, the Bible says, in your anger, do not sin. But it doesn't say we shouldn't get anger, but it's the response that is just so important. I can't take the feelings away, but in the moment, I can lash out or I can have a measured response. And so I think it's really important when we know that we respond emotionally or with feelings, that it's just so important that we sit back and we understand and realise why those are happening, or have a look. Why am I responding that way? I just think it's so important. So number four, let the dust settle. Don't make decisions or reactions when feelings or emotions are high, because they often can become a vicious circle. So you respond in a poor way when your emotions are high, and then it creates another issue and it goes around again. And, you know, I'm in a way, I'm hesitant to bring up last year, but with all that was going on with lockdowns and so forth, there was a lot of people did actually respond in haste. And I think it is really important that we do in our lives don't respond straight away when we're feeling high in emotion. And Proverbs 29:11 says, "Fools vent their anger, but the wise quietly hold it back." So let the dust settle. Take your time in your response in how, in when things go and your feelings of heightened emotions. And I'm not saying they're not justified and they're not real, but hold it back. This is what the Word of God says. James 1:19. "Understand this, my beloved brothers and sisters. Let everyone be quick to hear, be careful, thoughtful listener, slow to speak, a speaker of careful chosen words, and slow to anger, patient, reflective, and forgiving." Now, in the moment, it's hard to do that. But this is what the Word of God says. This is how to respond. So let the dust settle, sit back a little bit, and don't respond quickly. Number five. Sorry, hang on. I've just missed a little bit in number four. So if you want to write these things down, if you are taking notes, so with the let the dust settle, stop or pause, breathe, pray, and then respond calmly. I know it sounds very simple, but gee, it can save a lot of grief in relationships if you don't lash out and you respond calmly. And sometimes there's habits that you've got to deal with this to actually practice it. So it is important, but you can change. Number five, wipe the dust off your feet. Don't carry it with you. Matthew 10:14, Jesus was sending out the disciples. And one of the things that he said to them was this: "If any household or town refuses to welcome you or listen to your message, shake its dust from your feet as you leave." So he said to them, don't choose rejection. Now, there's no super spiritual thing here about whether these disciples, because we know they had feelings, were better than anyone else. But Jesus actually said, make a choice, don't choose rejection. So even if it comes on you, wipe the dust off your feet and move on. So for those who are sitting there and going, well, I'm just a feeling person, that's not what Jesus said to the disciples. And so we can actually make a decision. And interesting story, Joyce Meyer tells some great stories, and I love listening to her, and she's really funny. And she talked about how she used to lose her mind at home when the kids would, doing the wrong thing. But she said it was just totally unjustified what she would do. And she said there was this moment in time where she just lost the mind. And then there was a knock at the door, and it was her pastor at the church. And so she walked up to the door in this fit of rage. She said she was an absolute fit of rage. And the door opened, she saw the pastor. And she said, "Hi, Pastor, how are you? It's so nice to see you. Bless you today. And the kids are just out the back playing very nicely." And she realised then that you can actually make a decision to not lose your mind. You can actually do it. Now, the circumstances can help that, but that you can't actually sit there and say, well, then it's not possible for me to change in this area. It is possible for you to change. And so I think it's really important that we see here where Jesus said, wipe the dust off your feet, is that he was saying to them, make a decision. Don't choose rejection, feelings of rejection. All right. So that's number five. Number six. So we've got another five quickly. I'll go through these. Pursue your relationship with the Father. Luke 22:42. And this is really important. It goes back to that scripture I was talking about earlier. But Jesus, "Father, if you're willing, take this cup from me, yet not my will, but yours be done." He chose to engage in relationship and he prayed with the Father. And so In dealing with feelings and that sort of stuff, then engage in relationship with the Father, because he will change us from the inside out and help us with our emotional or feeling responses. Number seven, go to the right people. And I took a little bit of this out of Nick's message We were chatting through the week, and she did a message on wisdom, which was fantastic. So this is pretty much straight from her, this section. Go to the right people. Proverbs 12:15, the way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but a wise man listens to advice. The commentary on this talked about the kind of people we are to listen to. They're wiser than himself, so not a headstrong person who hates instruction, who consults the word of God about the right way of walk in worship and salvation. And Proverbs 19:20 says, listen to advice and accept instruction that you may gain wisdom in the future. So if you've got an issue in this area, go and talk to someone about it. But make sure they got the runs on the board. It is just such an important thing. Don't be too ashamed to do that. Young or old, it is really important that we have mentors in our life that we go to if this is an issue in our area, because it really does affect relationships. I've seen so many relationships burnt in church because people act on their feelings. And so we can see the other outworking it's had in the world, but it's just so important. So when you go to those person, number eight, ask for the truth. Be honest about how you're feeling and tell them exactly how you're feeling and say, is it valid? Are my feelings valid? And Proverbs also says, better the wounds of a friend than the kisses of an enemy. Go to someone who's going to tell you the truth. And if you're being a knucklehead, then open your life out so that they can say, you are acting on your feelings, but it's important you not only go to someone, but you ask them for the truth. Okay, so that's number eight. Number nine, and we're nearly there. So ask God to help you. This is a novel idea. Come to God in prayer and ask him to help you. That's what he says to do. He says to come to him in prayer. He's not going to reject us. Come to him in prayer and he'll help us with that particular issue with feelings. And the tenth thing is don't give up. Some people go, well, it was, I tried it a couple of times and it didn't work and I'm still acting on my feelings. But it's something you cannot give up. You've got to continue to come to God, to go to this person to seek advice. But don't let this be something that rules your life. Let it be something that God can help you with, that can help you with those around you as well, and don't let feelings rule. So I'm just going to pray. And these were really practical things, and I just had a real sense it was important to give something practical to take away, to not just say, freedom from your feelings, but give some things that can really help in dealing with this stuff going forward. So let's pray and we'll close. God, we just thank you for your word, that it is life-changing. And Father, I just, these things are more and more being put in our face, that this is the way we should live. But it's contrary to your word. And so God, I pray that you would help us each step of the way to not act on our feelings. There's nothing wrong with our feelings, but to act the way you would have us act, and let our mind be that of Christ. And so help us each step of the way in our families, in our workplaces, in our schools, in all our relationships. Help us to not act on our feelings, but model to those around us the way you would have us live and breathe. And so, Father, we just give you thanks for your word again, and we pray these things in the mighty and powerful name of Jesus. And everyone said, amen.